Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the JK Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Okie dokie, gang. It's Friday, the 1st of November. We're like a month and a half away from Christmas, and it's just me and John Davis on right now. Jay's going to call in a little later, and I'm working on and I'm working on getting my Skype so I can have that great sound. But I'd like to remind you, coming up right after this show is TB from the D, Tony Brown from Detroit, and then later today, you know who's going to be on The Basement with Herschel Myers Jr.?
No, I don't. I got a message into him right now. He normally hits me up before the show is over, so hopefully we'll know.
And then what are you doing?
TB from the D is going to take my spot a little later on tonight because I'm going to be heading over to Seattle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What's happening in Seattle, if I may ask you?
Well, I found out Reggie's memorial little thing is going to be this Saturday, so I'm heading over there for that.
You're driving, right?
Yeah.
Be careful. We're going to kick off a song, and then I'm going to try to hook up Skype. So, this is Kings of the Morning. Yeah, baby!
When you were a child, they didn't get it right. Your father came to sleep with you every other night. It's kind of fuzzy what the family said. Morbid thoughts of suicide whizz around in your head. When you got married, your husband didn't care. He told you that he loved you, but at night he wasn't there. Your friends are all on a double take. So many times they've lied. No, you can't count on them. So many times you've tried. Your mother didn't want you. Your uncle kissed you wrong. And now you're all alone in this world. Find it hard to get along. Pain and misery. Many people cold. Soon it's right in front of you. You're so vulnerable. A sucker for a sad song. You're a mark for pain. So now you're strung out on that drug that drives them all insane. It's for attention when it should be for love. but you're on your back all the time. Money's all you're thinking of. Nothing's going right in your world. It's all full of stress. No matter what you do, it is wrong. You're living in this mess. Go anywhere, do anything for a smile. Say anything, take anything for a while. Hatred inside, you crave. But you just can't behave. Your mind is kinda twisted to this. And hatred and pain can't resist. Hell is in you, Satan. You're debating. Should you do good? Should you do bad? You're vulnerable. You've been had. Baby. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my mic was, I mean, I'm there. I'm listening to you. Tell people I'm not here. I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
59 seconds before the show starts.
I didn't see you. You know, and this is what my board is doing today. And you know, and you've done this before. You've had this before, where what happens is you have to sign out. You got to log on to another section of Blog Talk and then come back, and then you see the people that are on. So what I'm going to have to do is get my mini pad, which always works. And be able to do that. It's crazy.
Mini pad.
Not that kind of pad, Robert.
Robert, not that. Robert, that's not the same kind of pad you wear. This is a whole nother mini pad.
That's your kind of pad, Robert. We don't get them from Safeway.
Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Oh, yeah, babe.
Shut up.
So, Lynn, I don't have a board because I'm in the Bay Area because, you know, last night Cameo rocked it.
Yeah. Is it just three members in Cameo now?
No. You have Anthony Lockett.
Yeah. Larry Blackman.
When I first saw you, you had sparkles in your eyes.
Sparkle.
You got him. You have Aaron, the bass player who's still the original bass player with him. You got Kevin Kendrick, keyboard player, original keyboard player with him. You got Charlie Singleton.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you got Charlie.
Guitar with him. You got Tommy Jenkins.
When was that era where it was just three of them on the album? When was that?
It was still, Aaron and those guys still played. It was just that was the face. That was Larry, Tommy, and Nathan.
Okay.
Word up.
Robert, hold up.
Album. I was giving you the key.
Robert, I want to tell you this right here. Last night, you know, it was a Halloween party that Cameo performed at. So everybody came dressed up. And Robert,
babe,
there was a guy there in T-shirts and panties.
There was really Kinga?
Yeah. I just want to tell you, Robert, he was not a heterosexual male.
Well, of course it was the Bay Area Kinga.
Something else that Jay didn't know, half of the people that came as you.
Thank you, Daddy.
It was pretty scary.
Oh. Yeah. So you know, there was Rick James. Rick James was there.
Yeah.
Robin Thicke was there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Catwoman was there. Oh my God! But you know what's funny? To watch white people dance.
Yeah.
You know,
in their costumes.
There's one white dude. I swear to God, there had to be a 4-foot circumference around his dancing circle. Somebody was gonna get effed up because he was doing a high karate thing. He made his body do weird. I'm telling you, if he was a break dancer or something, he'd have been bad. Sometimes his body just looked like it was water going through it. He would do these weird things. It was just really, and then the beat that they dance on. I mean, it's like in between, like you know, you got the one and the two, you know, three and the four. Not even a three and a half, you know, three and almost an eighth or something like that, you know. They just find the weirdest rhythms to dance in.
So, King Jay, so you mean when they snap their fingers and clap their hands is on the three and an eighth?
I don't know, Robert. The hand, that's what makes it even weirder.
Alfonso Ribeiro. Alfonso Ribeiro of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah. But even though they're dancing on the one and three tenths almost of an eighth, they're clapping on the two. So, you know, and then their head is bobbing on the beat. So you got to see all that together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Getting
it,
busy.
It looks like a convulsion. And Johnny, you're probably familiar. You're probably way more familiar with this than the rest of us because of the pasty substance you hang out with. And I'm sure when they get a little fire water in them, they really go to town.
I've DJed all the little white schools around here.
Yeah. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, Big Daddy.
Cool.
So we're in Oakland on Saturday, and the Oakland shows are sold out, almost sold out. So anybody who's in the Bay Area, if you don't have your tickets yet for Oakland, I think there's a few tickets left. But that shows if their first time at Yoshi's in Oakland. So it's going to be a good. It's going to be a nice run for them. Larry looked like he dropped a few. That was good.
So he's skinnier than he has been, or did he pick up weight and now he's back down?
I didn't say he was skinny. I just said like he dropped a few.
Okay.
You know, but he ain't. But he looked. You know, but Larry's always in great voice. He sounds great. You know. So.
What instrument does Larry Blackmon play, if any?
Larry is a drummer by trade.
Okay.
You know, he plays keys and stuff, but he really, you know, but he's a drummer. He was the drummer in Cameo singing from the drums.
Okay.
I just want to be what you want me to be.
You know what's so cool about that song?
What's
those
that?
Those sounds were important to the song.
Yes,
you know
they were.
You can't just go don't. You gotta go don't.
Yeah. Just what you want me to be. Yeah, that whole thing. It was put together as well.
Yeah, great arrangement. They start off. Do 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 do. Keep it hot. Oh. 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 I
Robert.
Like my baby walking. Little girl.
Say, Robert, if you had a show on the JKN, you could do all the singing you want, but not on Kings.
Oh yeah, baby.
You know, if you want to focus on your vocal performance and display that, get your little 15-minute show. You know, 15 minutes, like, hi everybody, this is Rob Redwine, and I'm gonna like perform for you, and then the crowd will say, No head, please. Just see.
Honcho.
Did you see the crying game? that was the code for a blowjob. They said, you know, she wants to perform.
male here. Heterosexual male here. Heterosexual male here.
Daryl Plowton said Robert wears T-shirts and panties because he has a hollow weenie.
A hollow weenie. Bob Weenie. Bob Weenie wine.
Bobby Dangler.
Bobby Dangler. Yeah, right. Yeah. You dangles. Hey, give me a news brief. I got a serious story to talk about here.
Okay.
J. King's News Reel.
Mother sues police for $15 million after they tased her mentally ill son to death. A mother of a mentally disabled man in Riverside, California, is suing police for $15 million, alleging that police hogtied her son and tasered him to death. Valerie Williams says her 27-year-old son, Anthony Lawson, passed away over a year ago as Riverside Sheriff deputy mistook him for a burglar in the area. She says before he passed away with a taser, hogtied, and even beaten with a baton. I try to block it out because I really don't want to see what I seen that night, said Williams. When I turned to the right side of him, he just looked at me, and I knew he was gone. According to CBS Los Angeles, homicide is listed as Lawson's cause of death. Williams said she called 911 last year because her son was dripping in sweat and appeared to be incoherent. She also said it was obvious that her son required medical attention. Officer Jeremy Bracey was headed to Williams' home when he received another call about a burglar. Defendant Bracey mistakenly identified Lawson as the suspected burglar, called for backup, and exited his marked service vehicle, according to the complaint. Bracey reportedly attempted to question Lawson. When he ran, Williams said her son initially complied with police and sat down on the sidewalk, but since he was incoherent, he got up and walked away. Williams' attorney said deputies knew Lawson personally and overreacted when he got up and left. His response was that of a person with a mental illness, not of a fleeing felon, said Williams' attorney, Randy McMurray. His mother says although her son had been in trouble with the law before, he was not burglarizing homes on the night in question. Who's making all that noise? Is that you, Robert?
I don't think so, King J.
Robert, if there's noise being made, and my mic is open, Lynn's mic is open, and Johnny's mic is open, and your mic is open, and we know Lynn don't make noise.
I'm laying on the floor gyrating in my T-shirt and panties. So if that's the noise, that's all it is. I'm just laying on the floor gyrating.
Well, why don't you gyrate on mute, nigga?
Well, I mean, you can't hear me. I'm not gyrating from the neck up. And the phone's on the neck up.
Here's the funny thing about phones reception. Have you noticed, like, the Bluetooth or when people are talking on the phone, you know, and there's sounds going on, and the people don't know that the sounds are coming through the phone? That's the way it works. You know, you don't have those dynamic microphones that, you know, just get the voice part only on the telephone.
Oh, yeah, babe.
With your gyrating ass.
Man, he said he was on the phone.
He's on the floor gyrating. He's doing
he
a floor hump.
And then he said, "But I don't gyrate. I'm not gyrating from the neck up." Robert.
Oh yeah, baby.
Robert, I don't. Robert, your gyration was causing noise in the phone because it sounded like a distant noise. By the way.
Okay.
So
my bad.
Are you floor humping?
Oh, yeah, babe.
No, I'm asking you, are you floor humping?
Yes, sir, Mr. King.
Robert, why are you floor humping in the middle of the show? I'm reading a story about a young man who was tasered to death, hogtied by the police and tasered to death. His mother filed a $15 million lawsuit against the Riverside, California Police Department, Sheriff's Department, and you're gyrating. What? Why did that story make you gyrate?
Well, I apologize, King K, because, you know, it's you know, because I chop wood in the morning, you know.
Robert, you chop wood in the morning. What kind of shit is that? What are you on? You ever hear Johnny say something like that? You ever hear
Jay say something
like that? You ever hear me say something like that? Hey, I'm gyrating on the floor.
Well,
I'm chopping wood.
You know, blood rushes to a certain region in the morning, and I apologize,
well,
and I'm trying to work it out.
I thought you were celibate.
No, I am celibate, but I'm just trying to work it, you know, work
you
it down.
So basically, you got on your T-shirt and panties, and really you're twerking.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Robert, I'm going to tell you right now, man, the people, even people that take up for you, it's like you take any kind of ammunition they have in your favor.
Yeah, King.
It's like if you was in a war and you had other guys on your side that's firing at the enemy. It's almost like you take the gun at them and then you put a whole nother uniform on them, like the enemy.
Well, King, I love all the people that support me, and I'm being honest. You told me to be forthright and honest and transparent and engaging, and I'm trying to do all the above, KJ.
Do you smoke?
Oh
yeah, babe.
Do you smoke, Robert?
Oh no,
Robert.
Then you're not being honest and forthright.
I use those electric dealies, you know.
It's still smoking.
It's a vaporizer.
Smoking. Robert, it's still smoking.
No, it's not. It's not. It doesn't have the tar in it and the carcinogens.
But Robert, you're still smoking. It's still a cigarette. Darius McCurry has one.
Oh, Darius! I didn't know Darius did that.
Yeah, because Darius smokes, Robert.
Oh, I never saw him smoke either, King Jay. I mean, it's all a legend from both of us, I guess.
Williams Darrell said, Robert sounds like he's a two-pack-a-day dude.
You know what? I defended WD to the fullest. He's a disgusting. He gives women diseases. That's disgusting and despicable.
What do you give him?
I'm a celibate, and I'm your neighborhood voyeur.
How much do you celibate for?
Oh no, I just peek through windows and hang out at the Motel 6 on the weekends.
That's not good.
Why is that? Motel 6 is very affordable, Lion.
Yeah, but the peeping part is not good.
Well, I don't cross the poverty line, but you know, there's you know, policing substances, they really love to show out because they don't close their curtains. You know how.
They're just free. That doesn't mean they like to show out. You know, if they like to show out, they would come outside and walk down the street naked.
No, they just be in the windows. They, you know, in the morning and at night, they change their clothes and they take off all their clothes and
they're free.
Yeah, they're free. You know, the pasty substance.
Free spirits. They're free spirits.
Yeah, that's what that. Yeah. You know, and black folks, we're more, you know, private about our private parts.
Discreet, so we're.
Well, that's right.
Robert, Eric McAllister said, you are a two-pack-a-day person with them boys.
Uh-oh.
Two-pack the boys them day.
Heterosexual male here. Damn it.
And that's why them boys like you.
That's why them boys. Anybody that says they're heterosexual male, what I would like to do, Lynn, is take Robert, heterosexual male,
mm-hmm.
and put with his T-shirt and panties on one morning. Laying in the bed next to Angelo Ellaby.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Robert going to come on the show. Used to be heterosexual male here.
Man, I would rather be a handbasket to hell than be in my T-shirt and panties laying next to Angelo.
Why?
Mr. Rio Ellaby.
Oh, no.
Why?
No. Because, King J, I mean, see, you know, you guys don't understand. Cross-dressing is not a sexuality thing. It just makes me feel really sheer. And Angel Ellaby will take it too seriously. See, I can be real serious with myself, but I can't have a rusty mane next to me.
Robert, when I be in Seattle,
you know what?
Don't talk to me. Don't.
No. Because we're going to Big Reg's thing, man. I'm real macho on them kind of events. Johnny Davis, man. I'm gonna be bleeding purple and gold. You know,
okay.
Husky colors, man. So I'm gonna be really. You know, I'm gonna have my football spirit on, dog.
Now you know there are cheerleaders on the football in football too. Now, are you gonna have your cheerleading football spirit on, or are you gonna have your
KJ? I do all this stuff in the privacy of my own home, in my room. I'm in the closet with this stuff. Okay, I don't go out in the public and with my T-shirt and panties on.
Okay. Give me another news brief. Get this boy right here.
He's off the chain.
Jay King's News Reel.
Concert goers demand refund after alleged R. Kelly impersonator performed. In Monroe, Louisiana, concert goers are demanding a refund after shelling out up to $86 to attend what they thought was an R. Kelly performance. Instead, R. Kelly fans say promoter Fred Johnson took their money and threw an R. Kelly impersonator on stage for only a few minutes. Johnson does not deny that he misled fans, saying an R&B singer did perform the event. He also refused to refund the ticket money for the event, which was billed as Fed's All Black Affair birthday extravaganza featuring R. Kelly. I never did anything to lead people on about the event, Johnson said. All of the flyers and promo said it was a birthday bash where he would appear. It was never billed as a concert. But many fans say they were watching closely when a man took to the stage at the Monroe Civic Center, and the man who took to the stage was not R. Kelly. It's upsetting because now I'm getting calls from CNN and other national media outlets. But I know I'm for the people, said Johnson. A woman at the concert said she'd seen the fake R. Kelly performer at a restaurant earlier that morning, and he was not R. Kelly. The woman who did not want to be identified said when the impersonator performed at a restaurant, he refused to allow anyone to take his picture, according to KNOE 8 News. At the concert, the woman said there was hours before anyone took to the stage. We were scammed because 10 o'clock, we was there. No R. Kelly. 11 o'clock, no R. Kelly. 12 o'clock, no R. Kelly. 12:45. No R. Kelly. 1 o'clock, here comes an impersonator pretending to be R. Kelly. Johnson said he is contacting counsel and will call a press conference to clear things up. Now, I'm going to tell you what this dude did. He thought, Lynn, that he was going to get people drunk enough to think R. Kelly was on that damn stage.
I like to see that show.
But I'm going to tell you what's scary about guys like this. There are a lot of promoters that will act as though they have an act, you know, that's going to perform. Like, I have to deal with this with Cameo all the time because Nathan Lieutenant calls himself the Cameo family, right?
Okay.
And so they call themselves the Cameo family, and then they play, and then their advertisement is all Cameo music. So then people start saying, you know, why wasn't Larry at the show? you know, why wasn't Larry at the show the other day? We're like, okay, Cameo didn't play. So now what I do is when I find out, I call the radio station, and I say, you got to pull the show down. If you don't, I'm going to sue you. You know, you're going to be held liable. You know, because you got the money. And they'll pull the show down and, you know, tell a promoter you can't run advertisements, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's a serious issue out there. There are some promoters that will book dates with you far enough out that they don't have to pay a deposit the day that they at the time. Like, they'll take a week to pay the deposit.
Okay.
They'll book different acts. Like, we were booked on a show with Ready for the World and a few other acts, Club Nouveau. I think Karen White, too. And the promoter got everybody to sign offer sheets and then took that to investors, got the money from the investors, and then disappeared.
All kinds of scams and cons.
So you have to be really, really careful. It's a very, it's so tricky out here.
What are you doing? What else are you doing? You're reading.
Eric McAllister just sent me a text and said, I'll keep checking on Facebook because Nathan sent me that page that promotes their shows under that name. So, yeah, so what I try to do is once I find out, I go and I shut it down. I shut the show down. But I try, you know, what I do is this. I don't want to stop Nathan from working because I feel like he has every right to work, as, you know, at the Cameo family. Because he was one of the main figures there, but he can't use Cameo music. You know what I mean? He's got to use his own music. He's got to say, you know, this is not Cameo. This is the Cameo family. Blah, blah, blah. You know, if they put a disclaimer with it, I have no problem with it. I think, you know, everybody should have a right to do that if they help create it. And, you know, Cameo. I mean, and he was a main member of Cameo.
Who else is with him besides me?
Just him. Just Nathan, and then a ragtag bunch of guys, you know, and it's like, you know what, if you see Lakeside right now, and this is what, you know, this is why, you know, it's important that you got one leader, one person in charge, one person, you know, that runs the show, and, you know, and I'm that designated person for Club Nouveau, you know, and Val and Sam definitely have a voice in the group. We're partners, but they look to me for leadership, and that's my job to provide that. When you have bands where they're fragmented, you're going to have a bunch of issues. So now you got three climaxes out. You know, you got the Joyce Irby climax. I mean, the Cheryl Cooley climax, the Joyce Irby climax, and then you got Bernadette Cooper, who really is Climax from a visual standpoint and was from a production standpoint with her own thing, you know, Diva and a DJ, you know, she's Climax, Diva and a DJ. So you got three different factions, one group that's able to do it because they're all members. You had the same thing with In Vogue, where Cindy and Terry have their involved, and then Maxine and Dawn had their involved, and then Maxine and Dawn broke up. So she opted out of In Vogue altogether, so she has no rights to the name. But Maxine does. Maxine can make an In Vogue anytime she wants to, and the other two girls can't do anything about it. So what they're doing is they're destroying their brand. Now you got two Lakesides. You got the original Lakeside, and then you have Mark. What's Mark's last name? The lead singer. You'll probably remember his name before I will. Robert. But Mark has his Lakeside. He has the Lakeside, but Mark's Lakeside show sucks.
Isn't it Mark Woods?
Mark Woods. So Robert is a top of the line groupie. I knew he'd remember. So Mark Woods it's Lakeside. So if you book Lakeside, it's with Mark Woods. And then you have the original Lakeside, which is with all the members. And that Lakeside is Lakeside. They got a new lead singer to take Mark Woods' place. He sounds great. They look great. They sound great. They wear the pirate outfits, and it's crazy the way they – it's incredible. Mark's thing looks like, like they just walk out of Walmart. I would tell you that.
Red Wine sitting with his T-shirt and panties on.
Who is that?
Oh, my goodness. Who is that?
That's some girl with Robert.
Man.
Oh, I know who that is. Robert. That's
who is
girl.
That?
That's Jasmine. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys
Hello,
doing?
Hello, Jasmine.
Jasmine, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you enjoy watching Robert in T-shirt and panties?
I didn't say I was watching. I just said what he was doing.
I know, but do you like it?
Oh, yeah. Right where I got it.
He got it?
What?
He got it.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you guys how I know that Jasmine is a little red school bus rider. And I'm going to tell you why she's driving. Now, you got the little yellow school bus, and then you got the little red school bus. I'm going to tell you what the red school bus, man, is for those super-duper special kids.
Okay.
Now,
you right.
Anybody, I know. Anybody that thinks red wine got it is super duper special.
Definitely, most definitely.
Are you in the same room with Robert right now?
Yeah, we're kicking it. I just got in here.
How much did he have to pay you?
Oh no, he didn't have to pay me. I get paid on my own.
What do you do for a living, Jasmine?
I work in a veterinary hospital.
What do you do at the veterinary hospital? Do you bring a nice pleasurable thing for Robert to from the veterinary hospital that Robert can get high with?
Oh no! I'm a healer. I help assist.
You're a healer?
Yeah.
Now, so what are you going to heal for Robert today?
I'm gonna keep him company.
And now Robert is celibate. You know that, right?
I know. I'm helping him.
Now he was just on the floor gyrating. Did you know that?
Oh, he said, deg-a-leg.
Were you on the floor with him?
Oh, no. I'm on the couch.
Now, where are you guys? Are you guys at the house?
Yeah, we're chilling. We're having a family day.
Where at? At the house?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where is everybody else at? Now, is Robert your uncle, your cousin? Because right now you guys sound like...
Oh, yeah, he's my uncle. He's family.
He's family?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk... Oh, okay. Now, have you guys ever indulged in any extra...
No. I have to finish.
Huh? Okay.
I see where
I'm going. How do you, Jasmine?
I'm 22.
22, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a veterinarian. And so you went to school to be a veterinarian.
I'm an assistant.
Oh, you're an assistant, okay.
How are you his niece?
How am I his niece?
Yeah, are you? I mean, are you his mother's mother, sister, or brother's child, or?
We grew up,
So it's just a thing that you're saying.
It's a family friend thing.
So you're not really blood.
Me, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, but I know what you mean. Okay, so you're really close friends that you call yourselves cousins or nephew and niece or something like that.
Yeah, he looks out for me.
Okay.
How does he look out? All right.
How does he look out for me?
Okay, put him back on, Jasmine. We need to talk to Robert. You know, we're actually doing a radio show right now. I don't know if he told you that or not. I mean, I know Robert is unorthodox and does a lot of things the way he wants to do them. Fortunately for us, he doesn't run this show. And that whenever we want to disconnect from him, we can just press the mute button.
Oh yeah, I'm back, King Jay.
Well, why'd you give the microphone to her without saying anything?
Because I had to finish my business.
Okay, Robert.
So why don't you just put yourself on mute and do your
business?
Robert,
we're in the middle of a show. We're in the middle of a subject.
Oh, I apologize.
No,
it won't happen again unless you ask for it.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Robert, you are. See, sometimes, Robert, you're funny. Other times, you're super annoying. And by the way, Eric McAllister want to know how often does she shave her beard.
She's a very feminine, beautiful, young 22-year-old lady.
You can still have a beard.
She doesn't have a beard. She has a very smooth, beautiful face.
Stubble, huh?
She doesn't have to wear makeup.
Have you ever kissed her? A lot of women don't have to wear makeup. That don't mean nothing.
I'm celibate, child.
You kissing ain't on part of the celibacy.
That is yucky.
Yeah, you are. You are gay.
No, heterosexual male here.
Kissing is not yucky.
Cross-dressing celibacy.
I kiss Sharon. In fact,
well, I mean, that's your wife. I one day I hope I get married. I've never really been married.
Robert, nobody's going to. Robert, listen to me.
Okay.
You come on this show and you do what you do.
Yes, King Jay.
And nobody's going to marry that, Robert. Nobody's going to marry that. I promise you. And if she did marry it, whoever she is, you shouldn't want to marry that.
Well, Jasmine, you're trying to heal me, so do you think I'll get married one day?
I think you'll find love, and marriage has nothing to do with it.
Thank you. So I need a healer, because I'm going through some issues.
Robert, I'm going to tell you what you're going through.
That's not news. That ain't news.
Yes, I'm going to tell you what you're going through. You're battling heterosexual versus homosexuality, and you don't have to. You don't have to battle it for us. See, I would rather you just be a girl and say, honey, hush. Like, and Robert, you'd still be my friend. Now, but what I would do, I'd probably make a lot more jokes about you to your face. You know, I'd probably call you, and you know how I normally do, call you and just bag on you, you know, and, you know, But I don't have nothing against you being a Sugarloaf City.
I'm a heterosexual male here, King Jay. You're the only guy.
You're the only guy in my lifetime, and I've lived for 63 years. You're the only guy that says you're a heterosexual male. Not all the other men say that. I just thought they just do like this. Hey, what's up, Daddy?
But more importantly, Robert, you're the only guy that I've ever met in my 51 years that professed to be heterosexual male while wearing T-shirt and panties, gyrating on the floor.
On the floor.
Well,
in the middle of the show.
Well, because I was you know, chopping my morning wood. King Jay, I mean, see, like I said, there's different categories here. There's
okay,
TVs.
Now, how could you chop wood on the floor while you're gyrating? What you're doing is you're grinding the floor.
Have you ever been in a classroom when you were, say, in junior high school, and something uncontrollably happened because you're a male and you're going through puberty? And through puberty, the teacher wants you to come up and show the problem. If you don't come up, you're going to take the zero. So a lot of times I would have to take the zero.
What does that got to do with you gyrating on the floor right now back at junior high school?
Well, because there's things, since I've been celibate, there's been uncontrollable things that's happening to my body parts. And I didn't feel control. I wake up in the morning and it's Tent City, man. Tent City, baby.
Hey, Robert, can I ask you, how long have you been celibate?
I've been celibate now for basically since the beginning of when Jay and I started doing radio show.
For 2 minutes.
4 years?
Yes, King Jay.
And what gave you that idea?
Well, because in my earlier years, okay, I started off a late bloomer because like King J, I was small for me, but unlike King J, King J was humping around like Bobby Brown at a young age. But see, I was a late bloomer and humping around. So when I started singing and dancing and with my singing group, and then girls was coming around and stuff, I was just a little nasty little critter. And then I started wanting to get into this spirit, mind, and body thing. So, you know, because I would nervously lead with my body, and now I lead with my mind and my spirit. And now I wake up in the morning with the tent.
You sound like bullshit. You sound like you're bullshitting.
No, I'm very serious.
Well, you're not talking serious. You're not talking serious. You're talking like this. You know, when I was young and sang, I used to pull my pee-pee out. But now I take my hat off. Now I take my hat off. And, you know, I talk. You know, you don't sound like this. You know, when I was younger. You're not speaking in your natural voice. You're speaking in a Africa Jackson voice.
I mean, I have a cast of characters. So we all go to the Motel 6, and we sit down Indian style, and we kumbaya, and we hum, and Namyoho Renge Kyo, and that kind of thing. And we have a great time, and they let me drink my hemlock and stuff. And, you know, I just have a good band of gypsies, and my Nigarachi. It's just, I just have, I enjoy my life. I just have an awesome time in Seattle.
Okay. So let me ask you this. When you see an attractive woman, do you have any tendency, and because you always take the position that you are heterosexual male,
okay,
do you ever have desire to even pursue a woman that you may be attracted to?
No, I do, Donald Grammer, with the trench coat and panties. I really do, Donald. I just really want to get to know a woman mentally and spiritually first. And because, you know, I have a 30-day rule. If a woman can be consistent in 30 days, then they might just be the match for me. So I don't.
Robert, how can you ask for something that you can't even deliver? Consistency.
I mean, women got all the power. Okay, let's look at a chessboard, King J.
Robert, you're not answering my question. How can you ask for something that you don't deliver? Consistency. You want a woman to be consistent.
You're right. King
yet
J.
You and consistency have never been cousins to each other.
Is that correct? Is that
family.
Correct? I have to be consistent to have a consistent female. Is that true?
Oh, I mean, yeah, you have to. Because you know what, Robert? You are what you eat.
Yeah, you're right. She said it was right, and you said it was right. Confirmation, okay.
Wow. Robert, I'm going to tell you something. You know what a 22-year-old can tell me?
What's that, King J?
Nothing.
Man, she's very mature, King J. She heals, and she's an assistant veterinarian, so I thought she can transfer that veterinary skill into me. Yes, King J.
While you guys do the dog, right? Put that in your vet.
This thing is funny.
Robert, have you ever thought about... Now, have you ever thought about, because I know you like young women, and don't say you don't, because your daughter told me you do.
King J, I'm blushing, King J. King J, please. Please.
Now, have you ever tried to flirt with the young lady, and then she rejected you, so that's why you're her uncle?
No, King J, it's not been never no rejection or no. It's never been a, but of course, I feel flattered that we can meet of the minds and the spirit, and she's attractive, and I can abstain from the physicality of our relationship. I mean that's called strength.
Yeah. Why do you stutter like that when you're explaining something? Sound like
my name used to be called John Purvis. Now I get a little nervous just thinking about that act, the sexy act of bumping and grinding. I get nervous. That's why I stutter.
The hell is that?
Nervous.
Robert, today I had a show that I was going to, you know, I was going to do. I was going to talk about, you know, yesterday Alan Warren ate at Yosie's. He loved it, you know,
you know, and just what's happening with the restaurant and how it's growing. And you know, I was going to really have a real conversation about that. But you've come on the show today, and basically, you know, if there's somebody who stole the show, I could say today you stole the show.
Well, King J, that was not my intention, because I do like serious subject matter. And Alan Wayne Warren is, I mean, he was the underdog that became city councilman, and he's actually doing things. So I love the story. And you got behind him, King J, and you guys are working miracles together. I love what you're doing for your city, King J. So I do want to listen. I'm going to take a backseat, and I'm sorry for stealing the show. That was not my intention, because I know the general manager's been spanking my ass all morning. He's got the devil in his butt.
I haven't put my hands on you.
You got the devil in your butt.
I may have it right now for you. And
yeah,
and why would you say that Donald Grammer has a trench coat and panties? Is that what you want to see him in?
See, you're instigating. You have because Donald Grammer comes on this show like the secret agent, secret spy, with the trench coat, the hat, and the voice. And it just sounds like he's got...
Why did you add panties? You said trench coat and panties. You did say that.
I think the kind of women that Donald Grammer... dates in South Side of Chicago, them sophisticated types from the hood, they like that kind of stuff.
Robert, nobody likes that except for the little girl sitting next to you who's kind of weird in her own right. 313-231, who's calling?
Hey, King James, this is Amore out in Detroit. How you doing?
Amore, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Well, I heard about the little restaurant y'all went to. That was nice. I just want to say hi to everybody on the show.
Now, Moore, let me ask you a question. Have you been listening to the show?
I've been listening for probably like the last 20 minutes.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you nervous when you hear us talk about Robert Redwine and T-shirt and panties?
I mean, that's his thing. You know, I'm not for the whole homosexuality thing, but, you know, I have cousins myself.
Hey, man, I ain't no homosexual. I'm a heterosexual male, but I like when you say, that's his thing. That's my thing. I do what I want to do.
You know, if that was me, I wouldn't put it out there, but, you know, that's you.
Right.
They want to be. Just as long as they don't come to me like that.
Right. I know, I wouldn't do that with you, dog.
All right.
You have cousins. Now, do your cousins wear T-shirt and panties the way Robert is talking about right now on this show?
I don't know if he does, but you know I don't get into that because you know it's my cousin. I love him. We grew up together. He's gay, so he's the only gay guy that I would hang out with.
Right.
You know.
When Robert says that he's heterosexual male. Basically, with the same kind of activities that take place in your cousin that's homosexual, does that make it suspect to you that Robert is heterosexual male? Does it make you question his heterosexuality because it's not behavior that is reminiscent of a heterosexual male? Now, have you ever had on T-shirt and panties?
No, I don't do that.
Donald Grammer, have you ever worn T-shirt and panties? Donald Grammer?
I'm sorry.
Grammer.
What did you say? Yeah.
Have you ever worn T-shirt and panties?
Never.
Lynn Tolliver, have you ever worn T-shirt and panties?
Never.
Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, have you ever worn T-shirt and panties?
Not even playing around, nope.
I've never worn T-shirt and panties. Now, let me ask. Amaru, are you a heterosexual male?
Yes.
Donald Grammer, are you heterosexual male? Lynn Tolliver, are you heterosexual male?
I'm a guy.
Johnny Davis, are you heterosexual male?
You know it, Big Daddy.
I'm a heterosexual male. Now, Robert, have you ever worn T-shirt and panties?
Oh, yeah, babe.
Robert, are you a heterosexual male?
Heterosexual male here.
Have you ever heard this game called One of These Things Don't Go With the Others?
Yes. It's an oxymoron.
One thing don't go with the other. I like that.
It's an oxymoron, and I am a moron, and I'm a little touched.
Robert, you're oxy, too. You're a little oxy, too.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Yeah, so what makes you
exactly a question.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you have, like, a P.O. box, a mailing address?
Yes, I do. You know what? Send me an email to jayking, the number 62, at gmail.com, and I'll send it to you.
All right, because, see, what I wanted to do, I wanted to send Karen White a Christmas gift, and I was going to send it to you, and then you could give it to her.
I absolutely will get it to her.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Now, Robert, while he's doing that,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna play this song for you.
Thank you, King J.
George likes toast and coffee in the morning. He lives downtown in a big apartment building. He rides his bike and wonder what it would be like to kiss a girl.
Robert, I just want to dedicate that to you.
King J hated it. I want Lynn Tolliver to do a song for me called Heterosexual Male Here. I challenge him to make that song. It'll be a hit.
Lynn, are you gonna take that challenge?
I'll think about it.
I tell you what, songs.
Send me a picture of you with your panties on so I can make a video out of it.
It's Robert.
Yes, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. My husky buddy. What's going
Robert,
on, my guy?
Robert, did you hear what that song was saying?
King J, I'm a heterosexual George, not a bicurious George or a homosexual George. I'm a heterosexual male George.
Lynn, go in the chat room and ask people how many people think Robert might be a little bit sugary.
Yeah, okay. In the chat room, how many of you guys think Robert is on the wild side? He's on the edge.
You've been in the chat room. I can tell you, you little devil.
Well, Val Sane said Robert already have issues.
Val Sane said I have issues. With Val Sane, you're forthright like myself and transparent, and you said you have issues from your prior life, and I still embrace you, my sweet sister. Honey, hush.
Robert, so you and Val Sane are sisters?
Well, I mean, she's a soul sister, King J. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm a heterosexual male, and I'm not like Prince. I don't want to be your mother and your sister, too. But I think she's my soul sister.
Road to Stardom says he is so sweet, she needs a root canal.
Eric McAllister said Robert is better known as Fruit Pie, the magician.
Fruit
I can't
pie.
Believe Eric would say that, man. That's my funk brother, man. We like to make funk and music.
Yeah, you know, he gonna probably stop after tonight.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah. Yeah, Fruit Pie the Magician. Lynn, let's go to some more news. This is going to be something.
Jay King's News Reel.
George Zimmerman's wife reveals he left bullet-riddled marksman target as a threat. George Zimmerman,
left a bullet-riddled target nailed to the wall after his estranged wife, Shelley Zimmerman, forced him out of their home that they were sharing. Radar Online obtained pictures of the target, which has 17 holes in it. Shelley Zimmerman provided police with a picture of the bullseye target that allegedly Zimmerman left inside the home. Zimmerman reportedly left the target after being asked by Shelley and her parents to pack his belongings and go. A source told Radar Online that Shelley Zimmerman viewed the target as a threat. Photo that Shelley sent to her lawyer and said, "Look at the subliminal message George left me," following their showdown in September, said the source, adding, "What else could a bullet-riddled marksman target mean?" Although the source acknowledges the threat, he or she believes that George Zimmerman could have been threatening his wife for any number of reasons. "Did George feel so threatened by Shelley talking to the media about her marriage to George?" asked the source. "Did he feel threatened that she didn't stick to the playbook of refusing to talk about after Trayvon? Or was this George's way of telling Shelley to stick to the omerta, or was it something more serious?" During an interview after the trial, Shelley Zimmerman revealed that she doesn't know the man who George had become. "I think I'm realizing that I've been married to a person for almost 7 years, and I don't think I ever really knew him at all," she said. George Zimmerman was temporarily detained after an altercation at the home they shared. He was acquitted in the killing of Trayvon Martin in July. I'm going to go on prediction to say this, you guys. Within the next 5 years, George Zimmerman is going to get killed. Within the next 5 years, George Zimmerman is going to get killed.
Yeah, because karma's going to come back to him, King J.
Not just karma. George Zimmerman has this feeling, Lynn, that he's invincible now.
Yeah.
And when you have that invincible feeling, you live on the edge. You ride on the edge. And I'm not saying that a person, the police may kill him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like O.J. King J. I mean, he you know, once he got acquitted, he just went crazy.
And, you know, and it's not that they go crazy. It's just that they do the same things that they've always done.
Yeah.
And nobody ever paid attention to their actions because they weren't in the news.
Right.
Because they weren't part of what was happening. Now, you know, it's like people, you know, it's like if you drive, I drive fast, okay? And so, you know, I don't get tickets at all. Let me tell you guys what I did this one day. No, because this is because I'm on the freeway, right?
Yeah.
And I'm flying. I'm doing at least 90. Okay.
Wow.
I'm going. I'm on my way to the house on the 118, going back to my house. And there's a highway patrol SUV to the side of the road. And then he sees me zooming by, and you see him peel out, and he's chasing me, right?
Yeah.
But I hit a bend in the road. When I hit the bend, Robert.
Right.
I because I'm always looking around me anyway, and
yeah.
I'm using all the mirrors on the car always.
So it's like speed racing.
And I'm like, damn. So I'm slowing down. As I hit the bend, I slow down, but I'm getting all the way over in the slow lane, right?
Right.
And now I've blended in with the traffic, and he goes darting by me because he's looking for me, right?
Right.
And he pull up on somebody right there, and he pull him over and give him a ticket. Well, so I feel sorry. I feel bad because I got that person a ticket because that person was going. He was jamming to catch up with that person. That person was in their own little, you know, fast zone, and I did that to him.
How many times have you did these kind of things?
I've done it. I do this all the time because I really drive like that. I'm a strategic driver. Anyway, so I drive fast already. If I was in trouble, if I had done something and brought attention to myself where the police was always following me,
I'd probably get speeding tickets. I'd probably be in the news all the time. Jay King busted for speeding today. Jay King speeding tickets. Because now they're on me. I'm not doing anything different than what I normally do. It's just that what I've done to bring attention to myself puts the spotlight on me. So I don't think George Zimmerman is doing anything different than what he's always done. I just think that killing Trayvon Martin has put the spotlight on him.
Right.
He's always been the ignoramus that he is right now. But now the spotlight's on the ignoramus. You know,
yeah.
O.J. Simpson was always arrogant and stupid, you know, but nobody knew it because the spotlight wasn't on him. But now that the spotlight is on him, you see how ignorant and stupid he is. So, you know, that's why you don't want that spotlight on you, Lynn. You want that spotlight to stay, you know, you want that spotlight to stay on somebody else. They put that light on you, you got to calm down. You know why?
Why, KJ?
Uh-oh. Here come the hammer. Lynn, give me another news brief. This right here is going to be a good one for y'all.
Jay King's News Reel.
Pastor bans fried chicken from church gatherings. See, I told y'all some good pastors out here. A Mississippi pastor is doing his part to end the obesity epidemic by banning fried chicken from church events. In addition to fried chicken, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church pastor Michael Miner has banned sugary drinks from church gatherings as well. Fried chicken has mysterious power, said Miner, who says people seem unable to eat just one piece. People are healthier, more energy, their weight is down. And once you get that weight down, you want to keep it down, said Miner. Pastor Miner has visited the White House in association with Michelle Obama's anti-obesity campaign and is also helping parishioners learn about the Affordable Care Act. I think it looks like the site has had some problems and it's been a struggle to get consistent service, said Miner. In his weekly radio address, President Obama said the health care website is not working the way it's supposed to. That's frustrating for all of us who have worked so hard to make sure everyone who needs it get health care. And it's especially frustrating for the Americans who've been trying to get covered, added Obama. President Obama encouraged people to call 1-800-318-2596 or visit localhelphhealthcare.gov and said the government health care plan will not sell out. Miner's church is one of many that has received a federal grant to help people sign up for Obamacare. So then somebody said, he just wants publicity. That's all this is crazy. I'm just saying, wow. See, you know what's so funny? Black people would rather say that he's looking for publicity versus saying, you know what? Thank God, you know, minister is trying to get his congregation healthy. Anybody who goes to an African-American church knows that nothing but obesity and sickness in the church because of the diet. So I think it's good. I think it's good. Tony Tigger said, so Wesley says, what does that mean? No more fried chicken dinners as well? Wonder what this ban has to do with leading people to Christ. Tony Tigger said, it has everything to do with it. Your body is supposed to be a temple where your spirit, and in parentheses, he says, God dwells. Do you believe God will want you to dwell in a filthy temple? Better still, would you invite God into your house if it was filthy? Jesus had guidelines for his followers for eating, but for whatever reason, today's Christian churches have none. And then Akil Bien said he did the right thing for God's people. We should do everything for the glory of God. Eating more than we need makes us unhuman and unhealthy.
And then Parashawn Marshall said, Tony Tiger, I did invite God into my temple, my dwelling place, when it was a mess. And as long as I live, I will go before his throne and invite him in, no matter how messy my dwelling place may get, and his grace. Mercy and his spirit will not deny me that good thing. God has never taken my free will away from me in any matter of my life, and I don't want anyone else doing it either. So basically what she's saying is, whatever, you know, if I want to pig out and be a squig monster, then, you know, then so be it. Now, let me ask you guys this, and this is a serious question for everybody. Do you think that a minister should have the power to ban foods like pig feet and pork ribs or fried chicken from church gatherings? Or do you think he's overstepping his boundaries?
It's his church. He can do what he wants. You know, and if he's doing things that are, you know, to help a person health-wise, you know, then I think he has the right to do that.
Donald Grammer?
I kind of side with Lynn. I mean, pretty much has the freedom to. I mean, there. I understand there's a discipline and there's an example, but I don't see any. I don't see any wrong in that.
Robert,
there's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind and a fried chicken.
Hey!
Huh?
Now, Robert,
what answer is that?
Robert, are you? Robert, did you hear what I said?
Repeat the statement, King J. Please.
I said
this is serious.
Okay. Well, sometimes subjects are so sad and so mean and cruel that I want to add a light to it, so I don't feel heavy for the rest of my day. So I might throw a little humor just to avoid the pain.
A minister taking chicken out of his church and all foods that may not be good for you, how is that so sad?
Because, man, those foods are delicious. I mean, you know, right now I'm on an LD heating kick, and it just makes me, you know, it gives me good memories of the goodness of the fat foods.
You are full of shit.
All right, well, bye. I'm on mute.
Man, I'm trying to have a real subject here.
And then he says something stupid. And if he wanted people to change the way they think about him, like this, hey, what do you think about it, Robert? Hey, I don't think that the minister has the right to take food out of the menu. Boom! How hard is that? Hey, I agree that the preacher is doing the right thing for the health of his constituents. Yeah, just like that. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for you, King J. Just like that. Boom, boom, boom.
It's WD's fault. I think he's kind of...
It ain't got nothing to do with WD. WD is only in the chat room. He's not on the board.
Okay. Well, I apologize, everybody. I think the minister has that right because he wants what's best for his parishioners. I mean, that's just like the schools are now trying to put healthier food in the schools. So I think that's a good thing.
Why did you say that? What?
If you had said that, I could have went right to Johnny. No disruption for Johnny. So Johnny, and no interruption for Johnny, so he can make his statement.
Yeah, you're right, King J. You're being real with me, King J. So I'll humble down to you, King J. Sire.
Robert.
Yes, King J.
What's wrong with you?
I woke up gyrate, man.
You've been getting high and drinking, ain't you?
Oh, no. I just came and went.
Okay, Johnny, do you think that you're a preacher's kid? Do you think the preacher got the right to, you know, to say, hey, you guys, no more fried chicken at the joint here, you know, no more pig fit?
Actually, it's his church. He can kind of do what he wants, but yeah, I would say he can do that, but I'll be taking a sack lunch with me.
Now, I think that not only does he have the right to do it, this is something that should have been happening a long time ago in the church. The church is a very when it comes to nourishment to the body, the church becomes very unhealthy.
Oh yeah.
Because of the kind of food that's served at the church. So I think it's great that some of the things I talk about that should happen in the community, you know, where a preacher is involved in the community, these are some of the things that I talk about. This is what I'm talking about. It's not, you know, I don't think the preacher has to put the community on his back and carry the whole community, but I think he has to, you know, exemplify a healthy lifestyle. He has to live a healthy lifestyle, and then he has to promote a healthy lifestyle. And to me, this is part of that promotion. So I applaud the preacher for that. Then let's do another news brief, please.
J. King's News Reel.
Was Bishop Gibson of Preachers of L.A. exploiting his sister's crack addiction? Last night, I watched the Oxygen Network's new hit reality television show, Preachers of L.A., the fourth episode entitled Family First. Bishop Ron Gibson led a television production team into a crack house to rescue his sister, who has been using drugs for over 30 years. I found myself asking, why now? I shuddered at the thought that the good bishop decided to use his sister's tragedy as a centerpiece topic for an episode of his new television show. But as much as I'd like to think that is not the case, more likely than not, it probably is. There are four major issues I have with Gibson's so-called intervention. Number one, I was horrified by Ron Gibson's assertion that drug addiction is a curse. I'm so tired of individuals who insist upon demonizing sickness, mental illness, disability, and addiction. Perhaps when we stop taking a Dungeons and Dragons approach to countering real physical and genetic conditions, people really can rise above their conditions and get successful treatments by trained clinicians. Number two, I don't feel it was appropriate or ethical to broadcast to the world that the sister is a drug addict and prostitute. While it may indeed be true that Bishop Green's sister is addicted to crack and heroin, and she sells her body to get money for the drugs, the burden of that truth is awfully difficult to shoulder when you're in a vulnerable state of mind and spirit. Bishop Green's sister is absolutely not in the frame of mind that someone needs to be in to shield themselves from the public scrutiny that comes from being on a hit television show. What if her intervention fails? Then she'll be left to face that failure in the face of millions of television viewers. Number three, which brings me to the next point. Bishop Gibson mentioned that his drug-addicted sister is a mother and grandmother. Did Bishop Green or the producers of Preachers of L.A. ever consider how airing out the bishop's dirty laundry would impact her children and grandchildren? Or were they just thinking about how her story would impact ratings? And number four, when Bishop Green was telling his congregation about his attempt to save his sister, he called his drug-addicted sister a dummy. Put that dummy on mute right there. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. False. Words absolutely hurt. Calling this woman, who is obviously very sick and suffering from a three-decade-long drug addiction, a dummy, is outright cruel and irresponsible. guys already know that I don't like this show, Preachers of L.A. I don't think it's have anything to do with God, God's kingdom, God's word, or anything godly. I think it's the total opposite. I think it's satanic in a lot of ways, as I think these ministers are. I don't believe that these ministers, and that, you know, and there's some people that are going to say, J. King, you can't say that. You're a heathen. I know I am. And that's why I know what a heathen look like. I know what a heathen sound like and what he feel like. And as heathenistic as I am, what I'm not going to do is exploit God, his word, his teachings, or anything that has to do with him in any way, form, or fashion. Because I know better, and I'm a heathen. These men are supposed men of God, and they should know better, they should do better, and they should show better. My question to you, Lynn, is do you think this is an exploitation or good TV, or do you think this is the right thing to do? The minister is taking the bull by the horn, you know, putting this out for the world to see, and maybe he'll save a life or two.
I don't know about him saving a life or two, but he's probably been doing stuff like this all along, but now it's on television with the Preachers of L.A. and whatever else they're doing. You know, I think that there are a lot of false prophets. They look like ministers, preachers, and priests, but they're really of Satan and the devil. And, you know, you can't stop it because of free will that God has given all of us. I think this is wrong, you know, but it fits in with the rest of the categories of all the other reality shows and all that other junk and bullshit that they have. And here's the problem with this. Whatever they're doing is not good, granted, but the people that flock to see that, there's the problem in everything
right.
that happens. There's the problem, you know, people that watch it, you know, if they didn't watch it, they wouldn't do it, just like drugs.
Right.
If we didn't do the drugs, pushers and the drug industry wouldn't happen. So it's partly our fault for falling for that bullshit. I don't watch reality shows. I watched that little bit, you know, because you wanted me to give you opinion, I think last week or week before, but I'm never going to watch that junk. It's junk.
Yeah. I can't watch it. I just love God too much to watch it. It's just too much. Johnny,
yeah.
Your father's a minister. You know, I mean, you heard what I just read. Do you think that a minister should exploit, or do you think this is exploitation, or do you think this is a minister doing his job, which might seem exploitive but sometimes necessary?
I think so.
Johnny?
You're asking
are
John?
You, yeah, are you going to answer the question?
Yeah. No, I think they're exploitating, man. I'm with Lynn. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't even get past the first little interview thing of it coming on because, I don't know, it felt bullish to me. It felt like bullshit. I'm sorry.
Okay. And what about you, Donald Grammer?
Absolutely, exploitation. Good TV, anything that'll, you know, turn a dollar, make some money. They're not doing it for the reasons you mentioned earlier, the genuine interest of maybe perhaps need a soul or two to the Creator, help people find them. It's because they want to make money. What's appealing? You know, I don't know where you know the philosophy in that where you find money in that, but you know. I don't think it's heartful or sincere in the interest of trying to do something cool for the Creator. So that, you know, when we all take that, because just like you said earlier, none of us are getting out of this live, and we're all going to stand before Him. You know, I hope before I leave, I have something to offer Him while I was here, something I've done monumental, so that more people can find Him. I don't think they're in it for that business.
Dr. Princess, have you
yes.
you watched? How long did you hear? Did you hear what I read?
No, I had tuned in after that. I'm trying to follow. No one's really alluding to what the article indicated, except
well, because no, because nobody has to allude to it because they were listening, because they were here. They were here doing the showtime. See, here you go. You're doing the same thing on this show that you do on the J. Rao show.
No, okay. Should I commit to at least coming in at 12 noon as opposed to 12:30? I need to make a constant, consistent time so you guys will know when I'm going to be here so that you can expect my arrival, and then we'll bypass it. But I'm very interested. You know I'm interested if we're talking about pastors and religion. I want to really chime in on it. So if you could not read the article but give me a summation of what you're saying so that I can have some input. The death of this situation. Okay, thank you. And good morning, everyone.
Are you familiar with Preachers of L.A.?
Preachers of L.A.? No. If there's some type of group, no.
No, this is Preachers of L.A. is a reality show on the Oxygen Channel.
Oh, no. No, I'm not. Mm-mm.
Okay, you need to. Okay, there's a minister on there named Ron Gibson. Mm-hmm. And on this particular, these are Preachers of L.A., and it's a mess, but you should go check it out and see it for yourself. But on this particular episode, he brought the cameras into the crack house to rescue his sister, who's a crack addict and heroin addict for 30 years. So now he's got a reality show. So she's been a crack addict and a heroin addict for 30 years. And now here he comes with his reality show into a crack house to get her out. So in getting her out, hold on, let me finish. In getting her out, he says that she has grandchildren. She has children and grandchildren. And he called her a dummy. In front of his congregation, he called her a dummy. So my question, and then I read different things, and this is from the person who wrote the story, and I asked the question, do you think this is exploitation or is this a genuine, you know, love that this guy doing this, you know, from a God standpoint, or is it for ratings and exploitation standpoint? So that's where we are right now. Go.
Well, first of all, he called her a devil. I heard you right.
A dummy.
Anything, dummy, devil, whatever. Wow. I think it's ratings. I think that's kind of clear. He's been there for 30 years, and before his reality show, did he think about going in there to get her?
Right.
So, to me, that his actions speak louder than words. I always say to people, don't get it confused by somebody's words. The energy from your perspective is more powerful than anything you say or do. And his energy is very clear. And it's sad because pastors have become, and it is a business, okay, especially in the black churches. I mean, it is a business. And however they can capitalize on that business, it's done in many cases, unfortunately. So I don't want to offend anybody who has a pastor that they just simply adore, you know. But you never, ever, ever should put anybody on a pedestal, because even it's written in the good book. Jesus said to his disciples, call me not your master. Call no one your master, right? So when they bow down and we put these people on the pedestal, unfortunately, we are already defeating the purpose and intent of what religion, quote unquote, was supposed to be.
Well, religion has nothing to do with God. Religion is only
doctrine. Absolutely.
You know, so spirituality. So religion was wrong from the beginning, because religion was just a way to take you from the spirit of God.
Absolutely.
And so that's why people who follow a certain religious doctrine, that's why they can't get past that doctrine to get to the spirit of God, because they've been so involved in the doctrine. They've been so what's been sold to them is doctrine and not spirit. And that's why Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists and Pentecostal and Buddhists and Baptists and Holiness, that's why they all will fight with each other, because they'll fight with each other over doctrine versus the spirit of God. If they have the spirit of God, there's no... They know that there's no fight, because they're not the judger of how you get there. You know, they're supposed to just be the bearer of the information. Hey, you know, I may disagree with you on certain things. I don't believe you burn in hell forever, but that shouldn't be a fight. That should be a, okay. I could see how you could think that, you know, but, you know, just keep reading. God will reveal whatever it is to both of us. But if it becomes a fight where you're trying to, push your doctrine on me, your belief on me, your teachings on me, then what you've done is you've gotten caught up in the doctrine of the teaching and the belief and not the spirit of God and the love of God.
Absolutely. I want to say something to it. The understanding and concept of religion as it's been taught in most cases through the biblical sense, the Quran or whatever you read, it's unfortunate that we confine ourselves only to something so physical as that, not understanding and realizing the greater truth that as an author of anything, I'm an author, you write from your current perspective, things change. The stories and parables in which were given to us as tools were also interpreted to us, and those interpretations, we confined ourselves to that and won't even hear or connect with the spirit, the spirit which is beyond flesh and blood, to get the greater truth. In fact, we'll...
J. King's News Reel.
Doc, I think that was Lynn Tolliver saying, you talk too much. You got to shut up.
I was trying to tell, that's bold. I know it wasn't time for the J. King News. Okay, I'm almost wrapping it up. Jeez.
No, you can't. No, it is time for the J. King News. We got it. Doc, we got a show. We do a show here. And you just keep going.
I love y'all anyway. You do me wrong. I'm going to make a song about this.
No, Doc. You gotta learn how to edit.
I was bringing my point home, man.
You gotta
put an ending to it. You know, like this. You gotta, like, there's a beginning and here's the end. Thank you. You know?
Yeah. Your ending. You have an ongoing ending. You have a never ending ending. And what I noticed, Lynn, is as long as we let her keep going.
She'll keep going. Right.
Yeah, she won't stop. And by the way, man, Mr. Elias said thank you.
Tell Mr. Elias, that is Elias. Not how my brother should treat a sister. That is not fair nor right.
It's not mistreating. It's just taking you to the corner and stopping.
Listen, because you keep going. All you had to do, I mean, you did. You talk longer than everybody about the subject.
Because
combined.
I had a lot to say.
When don't you? Okay,
that,
you guys.
That's
know.
What happened. But Jay King, you know, that's what happened when you're in the show business, man. And when you talk.
They got to stop, Doc. We got to go to the next story. Okay, so David. Okay, you guys know yesterday we talked about a guy by the name of David Herman who was trying to have sex with a 7-year-old. So I'm going to read the story again. I'm going to read the story again, and then we're going to have a discussion, and that's why we had to cut off Dr. Princess. For those of you who thought we were being rude, we weren't being rude. We were moving the show forward. Actually, Dr. Princess was being rude by doing a with the senator.
A dissertation of a conversation.
Well, what you did, what Ted Cruz did, so you started filibustering.
All right.
And you can take Robert off mute now, Lynn. Let's see if he's going to act right.
Oh, I'm so glad. I knew I didn't hear no interruptions. That's great.
Everyone in the business was shocked when All Access reported longtime New York City DJ Dave Herman had been arrested in the Virgin Islands for soliciting with a minor. Federal prosecutors allege that Herman, 77, attempted to transport a 7-year-old girl from New Jersey to the Virgin Islands to have sex with her. Now, Herman's lawyers claim he was actually trying to hook up with the attractive 36-year-old woman he thought he met on a raunchy website and not her 7-year-old daughter, as federal authorities contend. Mark Agnifilo said an entrapment defense might be appropriate once all the chats are reviewed in context and not just the salacious ones revealed in the federal complaint that had Herman promising not to hurt the girl, even though he might have to be forceful with her, and stating that age 7 is the perfect time to start being loved that way. He's really laden with gravity, with the gravity of the charge. The charge is a horrific charge, said Agnifilo. What he said was, I was never intended to do anything with the child. I was interested in the woman. The woman seemed interested in me. The report found that Herman joined the website motherless.com using the handle David121482 in September of 2011. He was 75 at the time. Herman's profile picture is of a much younger man, and his profile describes himself as a single father of a teenage girl. Wife died when she was 5, so just the two of us ever since, his profile reads. Interested in other incest families. So when he says other incest families, to me, that says that he's one. Mothers who are involved with their children and all other extreme or unusual family relationships. Agnifilo, who's his lawyer, explained, Herman's profile was a fabrication, an absolutely imagined second life. Now, Lynn, who would imagine such a second life if they weren't participating or wanting to participate in some way, form, or fashion?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And if you're sincere, why wouldn't you use your real name?
And why would he say other, you know, interested in other families practicing incest? So he said it's just him and his little girl. So have he been incestual with his daughter?
Yeah. Is this a Caucasian?
Yeah.
Thank God. Not saying that black guys don't do that, but, you know.
Yeah,
wow.
We got enough. Donald Grammer, do you think, now, from what I'm reading, right, do you think that, you know, that he was going after the mom? Is Donald Grammer gone?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear
Donald,
you now.
Donald, you know what? Are you Donald Redwine? Man,
no,
it's bad enough
no.
I got Redwine. Y'all,
no,
y'all,
please don't compare me to him.
I mean, I'm asking you a question. I'm in the middle. I'm doing. I've just read a strong story here.
Right.
Lynn Tolliver comes in. Boom. Then I go to another, what I think is going to be an intellectual conversation.
Okay.
And then nothing. Just nothing.
No, I had my headset in, and I took the headset out when you were asking the question, so I missed part of the question. Repeat your question now.
Is Robert Redwine there?
Yes, I'm here, King J.
So, Robert, do you think that this guy was trying to catch up, get with the mother?
King J, I think he tried to, him and his defense team tried to create a gray area when it's black and white. I mean, two things that stand out strongly to me. He took the little girl out the country. He's trying to get to the mom, please. Then second of all, he has been linked to websites of incest. I mean, if you're trying to, why would you be involved, why would you be looking at that kind of material? I mean, He's guilty, man. And, you know, the Bible says what you do to children. I mean, they're innocent. What you do to a child can affect them for the rest of their life. This guy need to be fried.
Now, okay, so I want to talk to you guys about even what the charges bring, that the kind of sentence it brings. But watch this. So according to the complaint, Lynn, he was caught in a computer investigation that was headed by an officer from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, who chatted with him online, saying she was a single mother from Bergen County with a 7-year-old daughter named Lexi. Now, Lexi did not exist, you guys. So he's really caught in a sting, and he doesn't know it. So Herman allegedly tried to convince the undercover officer, who went by the name of Chris, to allow him to set up a meeting with Lexi so he could have sex with the girl. So last month on September the 30th, or a few months ago on September 30th, authorities said Herman paid for a flight from LaGuardia Airport to St. Croix for both Chris and Lexi with the purpose of engaging in sex in St. Croix with the 7-year-old. A spokesperson from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Paul Fishman, said today that during Herman's court appearance in St. Croix, he waived his right to both an identity hearing and preliminary hearing. While it's not clear when Herman will be returned to New Jersey, it appears an identity hearing might have delayed the transfer. An identity hearing would have required authorities to confirm Herman with the person named in the criminal complaint. In addition, the Associated Press reported Assistant Federal Public Defender Gabriel Villegas said Herman had health and medical issues that should be treated on the U.S. mainland. He did not elaborate on what they were. Herman did not enter a plea today, according to the AP. He remains in custody. Herman has been lauded for years in rock and roll media as one of the great free-spinning DJs, a cool disc jockey who played the records he wanted. Operating during the 1970s and 80s era, when disc jockeys were often in charge and could introduce millions to new records. He's known throughout New Jersey and New York, especially by radio fans, who followed his Dave Herman Rock and Roll Morning Show through 3 decades, starting in 1972 on WNEW-FM. And a 1991 Newsday article pegged to Herman's short-lived switch to the FM station WXRK K-Rock, writer Paul Crawford called Herman a longtime conduit for new music. According to biography information posted on a website called the David Herman Music Project, Herman got his big break in Philadelphia in 1968. He won an audition to create a free-form progressive rock and roll program in Philadelphia on WMMR-FM. Herman, the website says, called his show the Macaroni Experiment, and after it debuted in April 1968, it soon became the second highest-rated program in Philadelphia. The website also says the show wound up being a kind of de facto meeting place for the blossoming anti-war alternative culture population of the metropolitan Philadelphia area. In 1970, ABC TV asked Herman to bring his program to New York, according to the website. Herman's show on the ABC station Freeform and included vehemently anti-Vietnam War. Put somebody on mute. Whoever put us on speakerphone, put them on mute. That made the corporate ABC network attorneys and upper echelon executives very nervous, the site said. In 1972, Herman was sought out by WNEW-FM, a station that was a major force in New York. In 1975, DIR Broadcasting joined up with Herman to produce a run of 2-hour specials on FM radio that were broadcast 4 times a year, according to the website. They were dubbed Dave Herman's Conversations, and featured Herman talking with the world's biggest rock stars, including Mick Jagger, Bruce Springsteen, the Eagles, Rod Stewart, David Bowie, Peter Frampton, Jerry Garcia, Brian Wilson, Pete Townsend, and others. So with all that, it didn't stop his nasty ass from trying to have sex with a 7-year-old, because that's just nasty.
In my assessment, if I can say this, mm-hmm. all of what you read and all of his accomplishments pertaining to entertainment, someone like that should never be given an those kind of opportunities. That's his agenda, to connect with someone that you really should not even have contact with unless you're related
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, you but
you
don't
have
know
contact
that.
With a seven-year-old.
Right, but I'm sure that this is you know, the same way Robert drew his T-shirt and panties to the confines of his home, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is something that people probably didn't know about him. What's interesting here, Lynn, is that this offense, it's 10 years, up to life, but it's 10 years. To me, this is a 25, a 30 to life, you know. I mean, this is a sickness. Like you said, you know, I don't want to put any other seven-year-old in danger. It's just so we don't know how many seven-year-olds he had sex with.
Right.
But we know that this ain't the first time that he's engaged in a conversation with seven-year-olds the way he engaged in a conversation. So he just happened to get caught up in a sting this time. And this was a made up person. There are people out here that will sell their children, that will abuse their children, that will let this kind of thing. The only way that these kind of sites can take place and exist is if there's a number of people, a multitude of people who engage in these activities. Motherless.com, he said, other ancestral relationships and unusual relationships. It's just too foreign to me. Lynn, let's pray real quick, dude. Let's call for prayer. Okay. While we call for prayer, let me tell you guys, don't forget to tune in to TB from the D is right after the show today, right?
Yes, he is.
TB from the D, he's coming on next. Right after Kings in the Morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then today, later on today, we have The Basement from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Johnny, who's in the basement?
No one. He's doing a musical show. He's just going to be doing some independent artists.
Okay, great. So he's doing independent artists. And then don't forget to tune into the Honeycomb Hideout, but it's going to be hosted by T from the D today. He's going to be sitting there. And Johnny, do you know what T from the D is playing on the Honeycomb Hideout?
No, I don't. Not right off. So he'll probably be jamming, though. So tune in.
Father, help us. We are all not strong enough to stay the course. So many distractions and detours. You know the saying, the flesh is weak. So is the mind. Lord, we are bombarded with fire, thrills of the sexual kind, drunken from drugs and wine to the extreme. The poisons we put in our body and the peer pressure of the golden calf in our time. I'm sure most remember the Ten Commandments where the tablets were thrown into the earth and those who were indulging were injured or perished in my mind. What is different now? Nothing. Sin is sin. Cheating and lying is the same color, the same kind. Drowning in terror and animosity and greed, the same. Find us who need you and help us, Father. Keep us clear from danger. Help us understand the world in which we live. And make us safe. Enhance us to be better. Protect us and love us until our end on earth. Amen.
Amen. Great prayer, man.
Amen.
Robert, I just want you to know.
What's that, KJ?
Dr. Princess, did you say amen?
I just did. I said amen.
I said, was that you that said amen? I'm glad you. Dr. Princess, we like you, right?
Yes.
We don't like you talking a lot.
Okay.
Okay. If you just curtail the talk time. You know, what I want you to do, Dr. Princess, I want you to start practicing. Practice at home on a 10-second, 5-second sound bite, 10-second sound bite, 15-second sound bite, 20-second sound bite, 30-second sound bite. Don't let your sound bite be more than 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And then what we'll do, we'll come back, we'll do a test with you, and just see if, you know, and I think what'll happen, Dr. Princess, is number one, we'll help you become a better interviewer.
you know, will help you become a better. First, at first, people, you know what, one day Samuel from Club New Orleans listened to your show. This is true. And he said, man, you know, he said, man, I tried to listen to the Dr. Princess show one day. He said, man, I listened to her. He said, it really sounded good. And then she just kept going and going. And he said, man, it's like, and he said, I just had to turn it off. Because, Doc, you don't know how to pace. It's a pace to this.
Well, you know what? I have to update my commercials because there are some lively commercials and other segments that I have in the show that are to be there, like the movie, mind movie review, and all these different things that add a diversity in the show.
No, Doc.
Yeah.
You just gotta not talk sometimes. You just don't. You play some music, but you stay on the subject. You like beat a dead horse. You beat the dead horse that's beaten. So it's not like you're not just beating the dead horse. You beat the beat dead horse.
Look. When you break up the momentum in a show, like with commercials or song breaks, et cetera, then it breaks up the monotony. And I get it. So
it's not just, Doc, it's not just that. I do a show sometimes where I don't even have music. But you got to have rhythm to what you're doing. You can't just beat the same subject up over and over again.
I try not to. Just listen to the show. Listen. I get rave reviews for my show. And thousands of downloads, too. So people like it. And it's
Doc. I'm trying to help you.
Okay. If
I took a poll, and there were people that were, and see the problem is this right here, people ain't gonna be honest enough to make the call and say, Doc, they'll tell me, they'll say I ain't gonna say it. I'm not calling in because you'll put me on blast and make me. I'm not trying to put people on blast. I just want people to be honest because, you know, like Sandra said, man, she's got a great radio voice. He said, so I love hearing on the radio. But then you beat the hell out of him, you know, with your jibber jab.
That was from Cameo?
No, that was from Club Nouveau, Samuel Lee Singer.
Man, I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, I'm working on it. I think about it all the time. You know, like yesterday, did you guys hear the young lady? I let her talk, and then I, you know, took the floor and let her talk. And typically, I like to hear the guests, but sometimes if I'm talking about a subject, when I talk about the subject, then if I don't have a guest, then I have a subject that I talk about. But I think I should break it up in segments, and I think more so when I have some different diversities that I am bringing back to the set because they were excellent and they were excellent pieces that gave diversity. So you don't have to hear me talk about one subject for 40 minutes. I mean, I understand. So is that Robert Redwine making noise in the background or something?
No, that was me clearing my. Hey Jay,
okay.
You mind if I give our show a plug for tomorrow afternoon?
No, go ahead, do that.
Can we get a survey of the panel? Can people just say, like, what do they think? I talk too much in my own show? This is ridiculous. People talk on their show the whole time.
Don't forget to listen to the Funky Rhythm Connection tomorrow with me and Lynn Tolliver as we play the best in adult R&B and smooth jazz presented in a super music mix. That's 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 2:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern. The Funky Rhythm Connection on the Jay King Network tomorrow afternoon.
It's 3:30 Eastern. How do we go back? It's 12:30 Pacific.
You guys are hilarious.
It's 2:30 Central and 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
No. How can it be
no,
one?
It's
if it was 1:30 p.m.
Yeah, it's 3:30 p.m. Eastern.
I thought
it's
it was 1:30. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Of course. Right, 3:30.
You should
hour.
Write it down. If you don't know that, you know, L.A. is 3 hours from the East Coast, New York, Cleveland, stuff like that. You should write it down. You should write it still like this. Yeah. Okay, 9:30, 6:00. Okay, what do you drop the 7 and put over here? 12:30, 2:30, and 1 hour on the other side is not 1:30.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
3:30.
Okay,
yes, there you go.
Eric McAllister said, Eric McAllister said she talks too much under sedation. So,
hello?
Yes, she talks too much during her show.
Okay, I don't know what to say. People
they said you talk too much. No, they say you talk too much.
Thousands of people download the show, so it can be
okay.
A thousand people download the show,
okay,
and
okay,
I get ready
to do. Okay,
but
let me ask you
know,
okay, let's
what?
Ask the panel. You said let's ask the panel.
Yeah.
So let's ask the panel. Okay, let's ask the panel. Lynn, do you think Dr. Princess talks too much? Too long.
Sometimes she goes on. I just played that news brief to cut her off. So, you know, it goes on and on and on. We're not asking for, you know, a life story. We're asking for, like, a little opinion. If you look on the television and they do news stories, they said, we talked to President Obama about his take on the vice president. Hey, I thought I was going to use Hillary Clinton. He said that yesterday while he was having coffee. He doesn't go on and on and on and on unless he's doing his little capsule for an hour or something. But nobody goes on and 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 on. And furthermore, what I want to say here, and just one more thing before I go.
Right.
You
right.
know.
It keeps going. And Eric Dosey said the doc talks so long, she loses sight of what she's talking about.
Uh-oh.
Man.
Now let me ask Donald Grammer. Donald Grammer, do you think the doc talks too long?
At times, yes.
Okay.
He said at times.
Because at times, which at most times. Robert, do you think the doc talks too much?
Well, King J, I'm going to rescue her unlike she did me. I mean, her voice is soothing, but sometimes she can get redundant at times. But I think that the doctor's onto something great for their true purpose, and I support the doctor 100%.
Shut up.
Yes, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Thank you so much, Mom. You just earned
hey, listen,
a new
this
fight
is a guy
me.
Who wears T-shirt and panties. Nobody even paid attention to him.
Funny thing about you, Doc. You know, you're always blasting Robert. Shut up, Robert. When he said, oh, yeah, babe, don't do that, Robert. Don't say nothing, Robert. Robert, we don't need to hear from you, Robert. And then when
no.
he gave you those kind words, oh, Robert, my love, my dear. Thank you so much for those kind words. You can
no,
speak
because,
now.
You know, I just don't like the annoying, you know, oh, yeah, babe. Oh, yeah. I was like, what are you saying? Like, say something that means something. And when he does, when he talks intellectually, I really like that. And I think that's wonderful. I would just like for him to have a completely different approach to someone coming on the show or something.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Hey, Doc.
There we
Doc,
go.
Doc, uh-huh. Daryl Plowton said, you need a word governor on your mouth. It shocks you after every three words. Hey, you guys, we got
a
go.
Word
we
governor. A word governor. I like that.
But you know who she reminded me of, Jay? Remember Janine, Nene?
Oh,
she
my God.
Never...
Yeah, she gets to keep going and going. Hey, you guys, we got to go. T from the D is on next. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, and Johnny Graham Cracker. David's telling you to get busy so because you can have enough time dying.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Box Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Box Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Box Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Box Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Box Talk radio show.
Kings in the Morning, TB from the D. Happy Friday. Today is October 31st, 2013. Before I get started, I'd like to throw some shout-outs to the best barbershop in Detroit, located on Mac and McCullen, Menzies Hair and Nail Salon out there in Warren, my fan base out there in Ypsilanti, Jennifer and my EMU alumni. And I got a couple of sick and shut-in people, Rosalie Standiford in Detroit, and a close friend of mine, a matter of fact, a blood relative, a gentleman by the name of Myron Brown. Today, for the Do Now, it's going to be E&F. That means every song I play, the artist's name would either begin with an E or an F. And we're about to start it off. Here we go.
Gloria, my Gloria, other day.
Another day without your love, I don't wanna see.
Thank you. From the D. I'd like to thank all my fan base for giving me a call and my fans that's in the chat room. I'd like to throw a couple of shout-outs to the McPhersons, a lot of McPherson and the McPherson family, grandmama located on McCullen off of Gratiot. Also like to say hello to Miss Linda Brown. Have a happy and safe trip. I'd like to say throw a shout-out to all the Chrysler workers out there on Warren and Nine Mile. Today is the ENF hour. Every song I play, the group, artist, name will either begin with an E or an F. I know. TB from the D. This is the Kings in the Morning. We do this each and every Friday, 10 a.m. West Coast time, 1 p.m. East Coast time. Today's Do Now is the E&F Hour. Every song I play, the artist or group name with either begin with an E or an F. From the D. It is Friday, October 31st, each and every one of you guys have a happy and safe Halloween. Don't do nothing I wouldn't do. This is Kings in the Morning, TB from the D, October 31st. Feel free to call 347-205-9366, or you can even log on to Blog Talk Radio, go to J. King Network. This is the ENF Hour. Any song I play, artist or group name will either begin with a E or an F.
Something that I want to say, but words sometimes get in the way. I just want to show my feelings for you. There's nothing that I'd rather do. Thank you.
Things in the Morning, TB from the D. Today is November 1st. I thought I could slip that in. I'm still celebrating from the Halloween festivities. I'd like to throw a shout-out to Mr. Burden Enterprises, Chief of Burden Enterprises, LLC. They do all type of homes, properties all over metropolitan Detroit area. TB from the D, the Do Now is the EF Hour. Every song I play the artist would either begin with an E or an F. From the D each and every Friday, 10 a.m. on the West Coast line, 1 p.m. East Coast time. This is how we do it, Kings in the Morning, live with TV from the D. The Do Now for today is the E and F Hour. Every song I'll play artists with either begin with E or F, please feel free to call 347-205-9366, or you can log on blogtalkradio.com, go to the J. King Network, and please look up Kings in the Morning.
The world seems cold.
Stay in your heart.
More.
You guys be safe out there. My prayers go out to J.D., Johnny Graham Cracker, and family. See you next week. TP from the D.
What the fuck you mean?